And then, yeah, the last few weeks we've been unpacking this concept of covenant. I trust that you continue to just dive in it for yourself at communities, that you'll just explore it. It's what we've been saved into. And let's explore this wonderful relationship that we have in Christ. So this morning you've heard that things are going to be a bit different. God has done so much. And the one challenge is, if you're in a community of about 12 to 13, 14 people, you don't always hear what else God is doing across the congregation. I heard recently at one of the community groups, while watching Church Discipline, the This Is Church video, and they unpacked that, five ladies recommitted their life to the Lord at community. And it's like, wow, God is really moving amongst us in a powerful way. The last 3 weeks, 17 people responded to the gospel across our meetings, whether that's a recommitment or a first-time salvation to God. That's just this month alone. And then God might be encountering some people here this morning, and some of you sitting here might get opportunity in a short while to respond and say, I want to make right with God. And it's not about the numbers. It's about the life of God in the place and God transforming and saving people. And it's so exciting to be alive in a time such as this, where we see people responding to the gospel and actually still staying part of the church and getting grafted in and getting discipled. Because it's one thing to have a conference and a lot of people respond, and then tomorrow it's just back to normal. But we want to see people come into family where they are being discipled and grow and mature. And some of the testimonies you hear this morning will be about people maturing and growing in Christ. So it's just incredible. Stories of healings. I had one story that a lady recently gave her life to Jesus. She responded to the gospel. And Ingrid met her at the coffee shop before the service. And just in conversation, she just told Ingrid she feels heavy. Or Ingrid picked up that she looks heavy. And in the conversation, Ingrid just shared with her, but you know that, have you ever just asked the love of the God, the love of the Father to just come and flood over you? Have you received the love of the Father? And Ingrid said, okay, let's pray. The lady said, no, I haven't. Because the one thing is, obviously in this new covenant, we don't have to live in a downcast state. We've got life. We've got joy. We've got peace that we can lay hold of. And we've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest gifts in this new covenant. And so Ingrid just prayed that the love of the Father would come. This is what Scripture says, the Holy Spirit has poured out the love of the Father abroad in our hearts. And while praying before the service in the coffee shop, the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes that young lady. She responded to the gospel. And one of the things that we see in the book of Acts is when they responded, they were baptized and also filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the coffee shop before the service, the lady gets just touched by God, started praying in tongues. Just in there, just filled and baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the fruits and the gifts just on display. And it's just amazing to hear these stories of God moving amongst us in somewhat of an unconventional way. Isn't that wonderful? So we've got a few testimonies and three categories we're going to go through this morning. First up, we've got stories from the recent outreach to Zambia. So if I can get Philip and CJ and Cindy to join me here up in front. Yeah, we had a few outreaches. We had one to Russia. Some of you, most of you would have heard some of the testimonies there. The one thing that we shared, because when we go on outreaches, we want to share the gospel with people, but we also want to go and build up and strengthen the churches that are laboring in that field. And so in Russia, one of the questions asked to us when we came back was, did you see anything in the church that maybe lacked a bit of health, that wasn't reflecting, you know, our devotion to Jesus well? And one of the things that we picked up was just worship was much, it was in a very orthodox context. It's they go, they pay to get entrance into the church. They stand in front of a little photo or a model or icon or something, and they try and make right with God and want to pray for a loved one. So it's very formal, very rigid. And that got reflected in the church's worship. Very stiff, very rigid. And didn't display what we see in the Psalms. And we said, look, that's the one thing. These people's hearts are pure and they want to serve God, but it doesn't translate when you gather that they are passionate about God. So we suggested move the chairs away and just everything that boxed people in, just move that away and then just worship God. And there's some interns from the Stellenbosch congregation there, and they gave feedback and said, the next few weeks, worship just erupted in that place. Because just that little shift, just that change, and people could give expression to God. And so it sounds like just there's amazing things happening in the churches there. And that's part of why we go, little things that we can see that can help the church walk into health, into more. So they were in Zambia, and I would love them to share a bit on what they've experienced. If you look under your chairs right now, no, just joking. I was joking. I feel like Oprah here on stage in the chair. So Philip, share with us what happened in your recent trip to Zambia.
So firstly, it was a faith stretch to go because weren't completely ready. My passport wasn't ready. 2 days before the time, it actually came through, and my wife said, "I think just go to Malmesbury, it will arrive." 1 kilometer outside Malmesbury, get a message while driving on my phone. Your passport arrived. So, yeah. Okay, so I wasn't sure if I should go because I wasn't completely ready for that in that way. But, so that was amazing then to know God wants me there. And I tried to prepare then before the time. Skulk said, we are going for prophetic importation and just spend time with God and prepare to be able to give. And it was quite intimidating because we're just normal people. I'm not a prophet, seat of the prophet, but I was then willing to go. And as I started preparing, I couldn't focus on other people. God just said, focus on me. And then God started depositing things in my heart, which sort of solidified things, and I started writing that down. And even the Wednesday before we went, where we prayed here, Jono prophesied that I see you go with a wheelbarrow full of everything God gave you, and it was like that. It's like a wheelbarrow is like a toolbox that you can move around, and so I went with things that God already deposited, and then it's good to get that readiness, but still quite little faith, because but I realized we should risk even uncertainties. Even sometimes God speaks not audibly; He will speak something in your heart and run with that. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. So as we shared with people, God started showing, okay, this was for that person, and also learned out, it's not about what you say, but how you say it, and failed miserably in some ways, where I didn't say it with boldness. It was funny, I went with a shirt that says Frisco, because Alistair printed a shirt as a joke that says Frisco, bold and strong at the back. it was ironic. But Marnie, the pastor of the church there, he wasn't impressed with the shirt because he's quite heavy about his coffee. So Frisco is not on top of the best coffee. Anyway, coming back, I just felt the words, are you preserved or are you poured out your life? Is it like in a bottle, just concealed, and you'll end your life, just everything altogether there, did you actually risk it? And did you ask God to pour yourself out and make mistakes? And that's also good. So, yeah.
That's excellent. Excellent. The one thing I want to do this morning is, we can sit and listen to testimonies, but I want us to respond to God when He speaks through these testimonies. And one of the things He said now is, are your life preserved or poured out? And maybe right now, just in this moment, if you do feel like your life has been preserved and not poured out, just repent. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for just not pouring out my life, and trying to stay in control. And if that's you, just repent and allow the Lord to come and shift you now. Otherwise, we can just sit and listen to the next 30 minutes of stories, or we can actually encounter God in these moments, in these testimonies. And so, Lord, I pray for those that maybe are living preserved lives and controlled lives. God, we want to be poured out for you. We look at you and we see how you poured out your life, Lord. You didn't consider it robbery to take on the nature of humanity and die on the cross in our place. You poured out everything. And so, Lord, I pray that that attitude, God, you would grant us by your Spirit, grant us that attitude that we would live lives poured out for your glory. Amen. Amen. CJ, what can you tell us?
How's it, guys? So for me, there was a lot of cool stuff that happened in Zambia. I really enjoyed going and just experiencing the church there. But the biggest highlight for me was I was staying with one of the guys in the congregation. His name is Wesley. Had a lovely time there. Met his friends named Spider and Henry, these big Zambian dudes that asked me, when are you getting married? And I said, I don't know. And then so while we were, you know, hanging out with Wesley, at some point I wanted to just sort of go explore and see what does the neighborhood look like. So I asked Wesley, can I go walking? He's like, go anywhere, everything's safe. Just go for a walk. It was quite cool. So the neighborhood doesn't have the roads on paved. It was just sort of gravel roads. And I'm walking around. Most of the people sort of, as I walk past, they kind of look at me like this because I think I was the only guy of a paler complexion within probably a 5 to 8 kilometer radius. So everyone is kind of checking me out. And the one guy, he stops me. He's like, bro, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm visiting my friend Wesley. And we start chatting and just connecting for a bit. And I take his number. He actually, he's a Zambian, but he studies in Moscow. So it was quite like cool. I took his number, we spoke about it on WhatsApp, and I told him, hey man, we have church tomorrow morning, do you want to join? And he's like, yeah, sure. I was like, cool, we're leaving at 7, we can pick you up. He says, cool, great. And then Wesley and I drive, we had to like go through the neighborhood to try and find him because the location wasn't working properly, so like I think we were late for worship practice, but we picked him up, brought him to church, and then during the service, Skulk threw out a call of salvation and recommitment. And I was sitting there like praying. And then I just check, he stands up, recommits his life to the Lord. And then after the service, we have like a leaders meeting there. And I'm sitting in the leaders meeting and I check out the door and he's running around like carrying tables and helping people set up and set down. And it was such a cool experience. So yeah, that was really a highlight for me.
Incredible. It's lovely. That's amazing. Cindy.
Cool. Yeah, so... many people know I've got an immune disorder, so a little bit before I went to Zambia, so my treatment changed that I don't have to go to hospital every month, so now I can do treatment every third day, so I can take my treatment with me. So it actually enables me to go on outreaches, and I can just take my treatment with me, and God was really cool, like going through customs with my treatment, and it was like going places. But then something really cool happened. I think it was on the third or the fourth day that we were there, my hands started to get weird. Like, it actually looked like my hands were burned, but it didn't burn. And then the one lady that was from Zambia, she actually stepped out and she felt that God said to her, pray for my hands, and actually put her her face in my hands and kissed my fingers. And in that moment, as she did it, like, I really felt that thing of, like, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, because it's like my hands were so raw. It was, like, quite... It was very vulnerable, but you were also like, wow, I can't believe, like, you know, someone is doing this. But in that, it was just like you could feel the presence of God. And then the next morning, my hands were healed. And then, yeah, so then we could continue with our outreach.
Amazing. Amazing. The one thing that stood out for me in CJ's testimony is these are not full-time employees of the church. They're working... CJ, you are working already, yeah. You're not just studying. They're all working. You are studying as well. It was done. It's a finish. That's quick. So they're working, they paid their own way to Zambia to go and encourage a church there, to go prophesy, to build up. And that sacrifice from CJ, that financial sacrifice, taking some of his savings, money he's been working for, actually made it possible for a man in Zambia to meet Jesus. Because if he wasn't there, there's a good chance they would have missed that moment. Because he stood out. He was a light in the nation there, standing out, a city in a hill that couldn't be hidden. And that caused that man to come to know Christ. And isn't that beautiful? Sometimes you think, why should we go? Sometimes it's for those very reasons. That moment would have never happened. And then as Cindy was sharing just about God's healing power, I mean, as I heard the story, she said it looked quite bad. And it was for a couple of days that was the case. It's like, oh Lord, I'm concerned about it. I'm another nation. I'm concerned about this. And then somebody responds in obedience to God, prays for her, and she gets healed. And that testimony is a testimony of God's healing power. And I just felt this morning, if the people are sick, can we pray right now? And I know that sometimes God gives us, he doesn't heal us immediately. Sometimes he gives us the grace and the faith to journey through whatever we're facing. And sometimes he actually does heal instantly, like he did with Cindy. So if there's anyone sick, don't you quickly want to stand? And then we can just pray for you. If you're sick, ill, there's a few. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just stretch out our hands to them? Cindy, can you pray? The yoke's done. Okay. Let's just stretch out our hands to them.
Dear Lord, we just want to pray for everyone's health. And I pray, God, that Holy Spirit, that you would just come fill our bodies from our head to our toes and just come and fix our antibodies and all our limbs and our muscles and every strain, everything that's not in line and aligned, God. And I pray that that we would feel something. And thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and you are our healer. And thank you that in your time, in your will, everything will happen for them. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thanks, guys. That was wonderful. I'm going to ask Mariette and Chris Watley to come up. Somewhere you can join in the next group. So Chris and... They both are Otleys, but they're not married. As you saw, Mariette and her husband, Jonah, they're going to be restored as deacons at the next gathering. And then Chris is also one of the deacons in the life of our church. So one of the things in Acts 1 verse 8, it says that we should go, as we receive the Holy Spirit, we should go and we'll be witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we need to be witnesses. But it's us. It's us. And last week, as I shared, I shared that we haven't just been saved and united back to God through the sacrifice of Christ, but we've also been united with one another. There's been a restoration into the family of God. And we come to maturity together. When Paul says, we together, we as we behold him, we, not I on my own at home behold him, but as we together behold him, we are being transformed. And if you understand this part of covenant, you look at scripture and there's a lot more we and us than me and my. And so that understanding of this covenant relationship, that we've been grafted into a family. And in this family, we mature together and God does things through various aspects of the church. It can be through loving someone, opening your home. It can be through courses that we do in teaching and discipleship moments, or it can just be through serving. And so they've got some testimonies of the goodness of God that they've experienced through actually just giving themselves locally in this wonderful body of Christ. So, Maria, tell us your story.
Yeah, so I'm a teacher. I teach grade R kids, 6-year-olds. And I also have two kids of my own at home. And then last year I felt the Lord say to me, very gently, maybe you should go serve in kids' church. And I thought, no, I heard wrong. I was like, no, that's not the Lord. But I couldn't shake that feeling. It just kept speaking to me, and I eventually who won, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go. I don't know how this is going to look, but I'm going to do it. And so I was so pleasantly surprised when I started serving there. I signed up as an assistant, so I didn't have all the pressure of a teacher, but I could still be there and help out. And the Lord just came and changed my heart completely. I had ideas of how things were going to go, and he showed me that kids' church is completely different from a normal classroom setup. And I'm not in control. In my classroom, I feel like I have a measure of control, but at Kids Church, I don't. It's His Spirit that's in control. And I learned in this time to walk with Him. And that every little person that He put there is there, part of our family, part of the larger family. They've got a purpose, and He wants to love on them. And I just feel so privileged to be in that place, to walk with His Spirit and love on them. And the Lord's been really, really good in showing me that I'm not in control. Like, I feel like I fail often there. But every time I meet with a little child and you sit and you can actually have a conversation with them, even the ones that are usually a little bit challenging, their behavior might be a bit challenging, and you get to sit with them and actually talk to them, and I just realized it's the same Spirit that's in me is in that child. When they give their life to Jesus, it's not like it's less of His Spirit in them. It really is, there's power in that place. And yeah, I was just so blessed by it. And the Lord's been so good in showing me, yeah, how to walk with Him.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And it's incredible what God is doing. Yes. And you would think it's a teacher, that she's got an earth of kids, you know. And then she's just making herself available. An incredible thing about making yourself available in an environment like that is God works in you. And He speaks to you and He shows you things. I've heard people preparing for the kids' lessons and actually say that God spoke to them and worked in them in preparation often. And so it's just amazing. If you make yourself available, God can not only use you, but it actually works in you as well. And maybe there's a few of you sitting here that need to take that leap like Mariette did and said, hey, I need to make myself available. I want to be poured out, not preserved. And if you want to get involved in the kids' church, you can speak to Esther and Gavin. Are you here? They're serving. Actually, there's Esther at the back. Just wave again, Esther. So you can speak to Esther and get involved. We do need people. These kids are precious to us. They're part of our family. And they're precious to us. And we want to see them. Just realizing just what's going on in society, that's probably one of the most important ministries in the life of our church, is these children. And I want to honor those of you that's already serving there. I know it's not always easy. Lizaldi is sharing there this morning, and then I'm sure I'm going to, on the way back home, get a nice, the highs and the lows. Sometimes there's more lows than highs. Some Sundays there's more highs than lows. But it's a crucial ministry. And if we can start building into them, our future is going to look bright. And I think it makes them secure. So if we can teach them to discern at a young age, it sets them up for what they face. Chris, what can you tell us?
Good, that's it. Yeah, so last term the church offered some ministry training times. So then I decided to join the Preachers Club, which is really interesting. But then on the last evening of the last session, then we joined the community leaders training, which was really good. And then my takeaway from that was that that there's got to be a takeaway of like community, and there's got to be like at the end of community, like what is God saying like to me, and what is God saying to the community, and then which made me remember that God is moving, that God is busy doing something, and that we've got to move with Him, and so I'd like to encourage you guys that if there's a course again that becomes available, that you must to equip yourself and to equip yourself and move with God. That there's always something to learn. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, if a month or a year or whatever, like 10 years and then since you're born. That there's always something to learn, and it's we go from milk to meat. So the takeaway of this, what I'm trying to say now, is that to expect and trust God for more, and as we grow with Him, that He reveals more and more to us. Cool.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, and the reason why we And the reason why we do this course is not just present courses, it's actually to equip us and to help us to steward areas or to be strengthened in various areas. So we've got foundations kicking off in about 3 weeks' time. So we're going to do stuff like time with God, heaven and hell, eternal judgment, believer's authority, faith, how to hear God's voice. And we're going to cover topics like that. And the reason for that is to equip you, that you can take home and run with stuff. Sometimes we'll do other courses. And the beautiful thing about Chris and Morgan, I want to honor you guys, is just the way that you've made yourself available and sat in sessions and training times like that. And we can see the fruit of those times. Because you've actually done just sit in the sessions, you take it and you try and work with it. And you guys are leading that community group of you exceptionally well. We spoke in the week, myself and Vanna, just how well you guys are doing. And we want to honor you as the eldership team. Just the way that, and just knowing where you come from, you know, and your journey. Drug addict, and now you're coming and you're loving God's people and you're serving Him. And that's a testimony in itself. A guy that was lost, addicted to drugs, and now he's sitting here leading God's people. Shows a transforming power of God. So we honor you. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. All right, up next, Selma. Join me here. And then Wilfred and Catherine. You can come and join us as well. So, Selma said, yeah, Wilson and Catherine, they unfortunately couldn't make last week. I think, Catherine, you went to the hospital. She went to the hospital, so they couldn't make it. But they moved from the Greenpoint congregation and joined us as well. They moved close down the road. So they've been part of Joshin, and now they're part of this local congregation. So welcome, guys. And yeah, Selma, share with us what the Lord's been showing you and doing in your life.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Hello, everyone. So I wanted to share this testimony in the light of Kevin's preaches the last 2 Sundays on the topic of covenant. So last year, during March, I would have gone rock climbing with some of my friends one afternoon. And as I was preparing lunch, I was going to put this glass bowl into the microwave to steam some veg. And it started slipping, and it actually hit against the wall, and it broke in my hands. And I got like a really nasty cut, like here on my ring finger on my left hand, and it was like a lot of blood and everything. And obviously, I couldn't go rock climbing anymore. So instead, I spent some time with the Lord that afternoon. And trust me when I say it was one of those encounters with the Lord. He did some groundbreaking things in my heart that afternoon. And obviously, I thought that's the reason why I should have stayed at home. So fast forward a couple of weeks, and we were having our secret garden ladies event here at the church. And then we had a breakaway session where we had to write down some declarations. So basically, those would be statements starting with I will or I am. And we had these workbooks, and I wrote a couple of declarations here, things like, I am loved with an everlasting love. I'm a daughter of God and can be free in His house. And a few more, but as you can see, well, I guess you can't see, but I scratched all of them out because they seemed very, like, fabricated or manufactured, if I can put it like that. And I was just like, yo, Holy Spirit, just help me here. What do you want me to declare over my life? Who do you say I am? And in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, Selma, you actually need only one declaration in your life. Just write there, I am His. And in that moment, just from my entire being, it just like radiated that sense of belonging to Him. And then it just like gushed forth things like loved, ownership, belonging, cared for, protected, companionship, identity, peace, safe, nothing to prove, in His keeping, can surrender, He will lead, can fully trust Him. He called me by name and a few more. And I was so thankful that God just led me in that moment. But there was more waiting for me a couple of minutes later. As we went back to our small ladies group after this breakaway session, we could share what the Lord told us or what we experienced in terms of our declaration. And as some of the ladies were sharing, the Lord said, Selma, look to your left hand. What do you see? And I'm like, yo, I see my left hand, but I don't see anything else. And again, He said, what do you see? And I'm like, Lord, I don't see anything. I see only my hand. And He's like, look again. And in that moment, He showed me my scar where I was cut. And He said that I've marked you here on your finger because you truly are mine, and you can rightfully declare that I am his and I am in covenant with him. So, and I guess I also don't have to explain the significance to you guys of the left hand and the ring finger where a wedding band will go. So yeah, I just want to praise the Lord for physically marking me, and I will wear this scar forever in remembrance that I am his.
Amen. Isn't it beautiful? Wilfred, before you share, I just want to pray again. If there's anyone here that's feeling like, yeah, I'm feeling forgotten, you know, I'm feeling alone. And this is a testimony that states it's truth. She's sharing her experience, but she's also sharing truth. That if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you've given your life, you are his. And so if you're feeling low, maybe forgotten, rejected, know this, that you are his. And so, Lord, I just pray now, if there's anyone that feels like this, this through this testimony, we pray that the marking would take place in their hearts. You said that in this new covenant, you come and write your laws on the tablets of our hearts. You give us a new heart. And Lord, I just pray for that this would mark, God, that you'd come in and just pierce the hearts of those that are feeling alone, rejected, forgotten. Lord, come pierce their hearts with this truth that we are yours if we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. And come and settle this today in the hearts of those, God, we are yours. Thank you that you speak, God, through different means. And even you're speaking now through Selma to some individuals. We pray that their ears would be open and that this truth will settle. Amen. Amen. Wilfred and Catherine, they are married. So they bear the same surname and they are married. So Wilfred, please share with us.
Yeah. Last month, I want to go back home to Congo. We get everything, paper, visa, to go back to Congo. We take the flight from Cape Town to Joburg. To get to Cape Town, we start to see our in the ticket, he said, there in the airport, he said, it's going to go to Lanseria. I said, no, we bought the ticket from Cape Town, Joburg, Congo. But here, Lanseria, I said, no. I tell my wife, Catherine, I think let's stop to go home because I see things change. I called my brother-in-law, was buy the ticket. I said, the ticket is changed. He said, no, the ticket is the same. He called them, he said, no. It's going to go to Lanseria. He said, oh, you must go, guys. We take the flight to Lanseria, Johannesburg. We get in the Johannesburg airport. You check our paper. He said, the paper is all right, but you must go back, Cape Town, to cancel your work permit. I said, why I cannot cancel my work permit? Because I used to go home just like that and come back. He said, if you cancel, you're not going to come back. I said, why? What's the problem? Okay, call Catherine inside, my wife inside. He said, you must choose. But you must go, your husband must left. Go ask your husband. She come to me to ask me, I say, no, not gonna go. She go back, he said to them, not gonna go. Because it's fine, you can go back in Cape Town. We decided to come back in Cape Town because you come back in Cape Town, was selling everything and another stuff was give some people. And we say, oh Lord, what gonna start now? And the house as was stay was still open for 1 week. No one was getting that house. The owner for the house called us back. He said, no, your house is still open. You can go back in your house. And go in the same house. We start to stay again. We ask ourselves, we say, Lord, now everything is not here. What gonna start? I see Lord talk to us. He said, no, you got a family. Call your family. Your family gonna help you. I call the elder for the church and support us. He do everything for us. And we just thank Lord. I just want to encourage people in the church. Before you do anything, you must ask first, Lord. If you don't have an answer, you must ask the elder for the church to get the answer for your problem.
Catherine, you going to share?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just want to say, yes, we really wanted to go home. We wanted to be there. But when we arrived at Joburg Airport, I feel that God really he was standing up before us. Then he said, no, you're not going to go anywhere. You must go back in Cape Town. And yeah, the reason why God brought us back, I don't know the reason. I don't know. Yeah, since today, I don't know the reason, but I'm very happy because I felt him. You see, I'm going to tell you the truth that we did not pray for that. We was very busy for the preparations, our papers, passport, visa, and everything, buying clothes and everything. We was up and down. We did not pray seriously with that. And everybody who knows that we want to go, there was that, no, guys, don't go. Stay. You see, don't go. Then I say, we would have been listened. And when we came to the church here, the elder is my witness there. He did not allow us to go. He said, no. Then we would have been listened to God. It's very important to listen to God in everything that we plan to do. We must first listen to God. Then when we came back, I feel that I see that image of Jonas, the first book. He was one to run away from the sight of God. God tell him to go and tell Nineveh to repent. Go and tell Nineveh to repent. Then he just wanted to say, oh no, I want to go to Tarsus. He take that stuff inside there. Then he just sleeping and hide himself. Then God did everything to bring him there. Remember that he was shallowed by that big fish. Then he just bring him to Tarsus because he had a mission to accomplish that mission. Then I just understand that we have a mission. And yeah, I don't know what God wants us to do. I don't know, but I feel that we have that mission. Yeah. Yeah. We have to do that mission here in South Africa because God first in our life, God first, and the will of God first. The will of God first. And to save God first in our life. So, yeah, we have that mission and we're going to do that by the grace of God.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. It's so important. We, as people of God, we need to obey him in every aspect, you know, and let him direct our steps. Let him direct us. I just want to honor many of them. They sold everything to go back. They had nothing. And so when they came back to Cape Town, they had the house available and nothing in it. And we just asked many people in the congregation, some of the other congregations around. And it's just incredible how people just gave what they have, you know, and be able to give them, you know, everything that they need in the house. Beds and stuff for the kitchen and just absolutely everything. So we want to thank you and honor you. That's church, eh? Isn't it church where we share with what we got? And even in the Acts account, we many times mention that. But we had a guy get saved here a couple of months ago, and where he stays at the moment, it's not safe. He's getting mugged, and he needs to move out of that space. And they were able to help someone find accommodation close to them. And through the Acts account, we're able to help with that transition into a safe space. And the wonderful thing is that guy can now be close to them, fellow believers, out of a different environment. And so as we give to these accounts, it's helping people to find what their needs are, get their needs addressed, but also, yeah, experience the love of the Father. Guys, thanks for sharing so much. Appreciate that. We've got two more testimonies. So can I get Beatrice and Tammy, if you can come up, the last two. Beatrice can sit here, Tammy can sit on that side. And these last two testimonies is about, yeah, someone encountering the saving power of God and then someone else being a witness and a colleague encountering the saving power of God. So Beatrice, share with us what the Lord has done in your life for the last few months.
Well, it actually started when I was 16. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I lost everything. My family tried to get me back, but I wouldn't listen. I rather ran back to the alcohol and the bars, because that's where I felt happy. I started getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and to get rid of that pain, I started doing self-mutilation on myself, because I thought that was going to help. But I got even more weaker. And then I remembered this verse my mom said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And I just gave in. So then God brought me back home. Now I stay with my aunt and uncle. And I'm finally going home for the first time since 16. I'm going to go work with my mom and my dad. And my brothers finally accepted me back home. And my cousin and his wife brought me here, where I met some amazing people who helped me realize that I don't have to go through all of that alone, and that there are people and there is a family. Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for what you've done in Beatrice's life. Thank you for the freedom that you've brought, Lord. Not only through the church, but you, Lord, you've come to set her free, Lord. You've come to set the captives free. And Lord, we pray that you'd come and protect her, Lord. We pray as she's thrown off all these weights and this sin over the last few months, that she would continue to run with her eyes fixed on you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come now and would you fill her? Would you come and fill her afresh, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, it's just incredible to see that God can save us and heal us to the uttermost. And just hearing Beatrice's story and knowing that God has set her free of so much. And we're going to trust that even this morning, as we maybe come to an end of our meeting in a short while, just if there's anyone kept, you know, caught in some form of addiction or struggling, one of the things in the prayer meeting came out that God wants to set people free. And we're going to create some space as we end the meeting at the end in a few moments. Just if there's anyone that feels captive, that feels maybe addicted or dealing with things, here's a wonderful testimony of someone that experienced the freedom of God, but also the love of the Father. And her life's a testimony to a few here this morning that God can do it. So well done, Beatrice. Well done. Thanks for sharing. Tammy, share with us what happened at work.
So I've been at this Durbanville Virgin Active for 10 months. And I had a colleague that had absolutely no interest in knowing who God is or anything like that. Every time we spoke about it, he would just brush it off and he wanted nothing to do with it. And every single week, it's not just myself, there's also some other members and colleagues that also do believe. So we'd always speak to him, we would always invite him to church, always pray for him. And it was literally just, it came to a stage where he decided, cool, he's going to come to church. And that morning, he set his alarm. And that morning, before his alarm went off, a friend that he hadn't seen in 15 years decided to knock on his door. And this friend is not a good friend. This friend knows his downfall, and it was sent from the devil. Because he knocked on the door, woke him up with two bottles of alcohol, and he had an addiction to alcohol. He was drinking every night. So when he planned to come to church for the first time, the devil sent someone that had his addiction and his weakness. And therefore, he fell into the alcohol and didn't show up to church. However, we continued praying for him, and I continued inviting him. And the following week, he actually came for the first time. It was actually last weekend. He came for the first time, and he really, really enjoyed it. And then on Monday at church, a friend of mine at work actually led him through, and he gave his life to God. And since last week, Sunday, he hasn't touched alcohol. So it's a blessing.
Isn't it wonderful, eh? Isn't it wonderful? And not just here on a Sunday where God says, but out there and in our workspaces. And Tammy, well done, just for witnessing, you know, and being a witness in your workplace, praying for the... I think that's probably key. It starts with praying for those that we want to see come to salvation. And I remember in the thing that you sent about this testimony, you mentioned that he actually realized that God must be real because... Where does this guy come out of 15 years of not seeing him? This guy rocks up in front of his house the day he wants to go to church. And that was his realization. The devil must be real. And if the devil is real, then God must be real. And that was the thing that started triggering his life. It was like, you know, God must be real. And yeah, just amazing. So well done. May this be encouragement for us to continue praying for loved ones, friends, work colleagues. And let's be a witness. Amen. Ingrid, can you come up? Thanks for sharing, guys. That's just wonderful. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, we overcome by the word of our testimony, not loving our lives unto death, and by the blood of the Lamb. And these moments of testifying, it's something that happens, you know. There's a declaration of what Christ has done. So I want to encourage you not let this be a moment that we forget about. Let's consider what God has done, be encouraged by it. Say, God, do it again. Testify at work, at home. Testify in the community. Let's testify of the works of God amongst us. Look at the book of Acts, and there's all these acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. Let's trust God for that. Let's trust God that He will move mightily through us. Ezekiel speaks about God coming to give us a new heart. You can put that up, Luca. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Basically just saying, this hardness in your heart, maybe you're rejecting God, not interested in God. That speaks of a hardened heart. And He would come and remove that and give you a heart of flesh. Now, I didn't do the math, but apparently a heart transplant is quite an expensive activity. Hundreds of thousands of rands to do a heart transplant. But this heart transplant is absolutely free. Jesus died on the cross. He came to deal with our sin. And all of us have sinned. Some of us have maybe, from our point of view, sinned more than others. But from God's point of view, all have sinned, whether it's a small or big sin. We all have sinned. And the Bible says if we sinned, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve to die. But then Jesus came and died in our place. The Father's wrath was all poured upon Him. And He died, His body was broken, so that we can be restored and brought back to God, the living one. And if we acknowledge our wrongdoing and our sin, it says that in that moment, God comes and He takes our heart of stone, like He did with Beatrice, and He gives us a heart of flesh, like He did with Tammy's work colleague. You see, when God created, He spoke to Himself when He created man. And if you take a fish out of water, what happens to that fish? It dies. If you take a plant out of the ground, that plant would wither and die. So if you take the very thing, if you take something out of its source of life, it dies. And if you look in creation, God spoke to the source of the thing to create it. So He created plants, He spoke to the ground, and He said, bring forth plants. When He created fish, He spoke to the water. And He says, let living creatures come forth. And there's an interesting pattern here in creation that God spoke to the source of the thing. And so when He created man, who did He speak to? Himself. So the source of our life is in God. And if we're not in Him, then we will wither and die. But when we are in Him, that's truly when we find true life. When we're in Him. And this morning, some of you might feel like you're not in Him. You've never been in Him. And your life feels, it's falling apart. You feel like your heart is hardened. And that's the enemy. That's sin. Bringing about that feeling. Bringing about that way of life. But if you say, God, I want to repent. I want to change. Come and change this heart of stone. Give me a heart of flesh. He puts you back into your source, which is Him. And He gives you a heart of flesh. And you can live. And if that's you this morning, every Sunday we're going to do these moments where we create opportunity for you to respond to the gospel. So that you can bring people, invite people to these moments. And we want to do it because we know that God sends people to times and places like this to give their lives to Him, to make right with Him, to allow Him to give you your heart of flesh, for your heart of stone. And can we just quickly all bow our heads? If you may be feeling like you're withering and dying, you're not in your source, and you want to make right with God, or you want to, for the very first time, just say, Lord, forgive me. I want to make my life right. I want to give my life to you. I want to repent of my life, my pride, and I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, don't you quickly just want to raise your hand? Or every head's bowed. If you're here this morning and you want to get back to your source, you want to make right with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone responding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's someone else responding. Anyone else? There's a hand here as well. Thank you. There's another hand. A young lady responding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just a brief moment. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I ask that we all stand? And as we're standing, if you raise your hand, don't you quickly want to come forward? We don't want to embarrass you, but we want to pray with you. If someone came with you, bring them with you. You don't have to come on your own. If there's a loved one or a friend, someone with you, we don't want to embarrass you, but we want to pray with you, because this moment is one of the greatest moments in your life. It says the heavens are rejoicing. There's a party in heaven right now because people are coming back to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you in this congregation, there's people standing alone, don't you want to come around them and pray with them? Here's another lady. Thank you, Lord. New life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we just before you pray for them, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want us to pray together, so you're not praying on your own. So we're going to pray together, and then those around you can just pray with you, explain to you what happened in this moment and what needs to happen from this point onwards. Just thank you, Lord, for young children responding to the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you might be a child, but in this very moment, God makes you a new creation. He gives you a new heart. And now you belong to Him. And like all of us, there's no more old or young Christian. You belong to Him and you're a child of God, like all of us. Thank you, Lord. So come, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, today I want to repent of my sin. And I want to give my life to you. Thank you for your blood that washes my life clean. Thank you that you make me a new creation, a child of God. So Lord, I surrender this morning and I receive your life. I receive a new heart in Jesus' name. Lord, would you come and fill me now with your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for what you did this morning. Thank you for every testimony. Thank you for people that responded to you, Lord. As you lured them, as the Holy Spirit has knocked on their door, thank you that they've responded. Lord, we pray now by your Spirit that you'd come and seal the work that you've done in their lives in Jesus' name. And we pray from this day forward that they would come to know you more and more and more. And together with us, Lord, that they will be transformed into your image as we behold you. And Lord, I pray for all of us as we come to an end now in our meeting, Lord. May we come to know you more and more. And may we be witnesses of this living relationship with you to our colleagues, to our friends, and to those that are lost and dying outside. In Jesus' name, amen.